Hello, and welcome to the Ghoul Squad Podcast. Hello and welcome to the Ghoul Squad Podcast. I'm Keegan Preslak.
I am Eric Hoff.
And this is a horror podcast where two buddies in the middle of nowhere get together, hopefully once a giant movie release, a slasher release, and talk horror movies.
That is correct.
Hello, Eric. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. What about yourself?
Well, I'm good. We just, Eric and I, just got back from our second viewing of the
Scream new Scream 6.
Of Scream 6, that's right.
And that's what this episode's going to be. It's going to be a review.
Yes,
of
yeah.
Scream 6.
Eric mentioned on the last episode that he wants to do a ranking of the Silent Night, Deadly Night franchise.
Correct. And just an update on that, I just need 4 and 5, and I'll be ready to go.
Yeah. But we thought it would be good to fit this in because it's fucking Scream 6.
It's fucking Scream 6. Yeah.
Yes, totally. So Eric and I just went and saw it again, and we feel ready to talk the film.
We are. We got some shit bell in us.
Yes.
And
Eric's wearing his Ghostface t-shirt.
Yes.
Yes.
And we're ready to go.
Yeah. We're ripping and roaring. Yes.
Keegan.
Hello. Everybody out there in Ghoul Squad land.
Yes. What? I feel like we always got to date ourselves.
Oh, sure. Of course.
So what's it been? Maybe about a month or month and a half?
I think it's been 2 months.
Oh, okay.
I think it's been 2 months.
Crazy. We've gone longer.
Last episode was the our top 10.
Yep.
Of the year. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we get into a better cadence here. But we say that every fucking episode.
You guys know us already.
We're riding along. We're driving
yep.
along.
Yep.
Yeah. So we're going to review Scream 6. And we'll even give you our updated ranking of
yes.
the franchise.
100%.
I know you guys are waiting with bated breath for that. So stay tuned.
Yep.
That's coming. But Eric, how are you? How are things going? How's your life? How's work?
Work is still crazy. Like what sucks is like I have so many parcels. Every fucking day.
And it's not even Christmas anymore.
Right. I'm hearing carriers around the office say, well, it's income tax season.
All right.
I don't know if I believe that. I'd like to believe that because that means it would eventually die down. But what sucks is like my new normal now is a lot.
Yeah.
Man, is that a bummer? What about you, Keegan? How are you doing?
Well, I'm good, but I want to quickly comment on that.
Sure.
It could be tax season, but it's also like at the beginning of the new year, everybody thinks like they're going to be a different person.
Right. So I've delivered a fair amount of fucking like weightlifting equipment.
Yeah.
Bitch, you ain't using that shit.
And on that note, so people are buying shit like that or new clothes or miss new booty, shit like that.
Right, right.
No, I'm doing good. I mean, shit's pretty much still the same. Pretty much the only thing I did in the last few weeks is I went out of town to Las Cruces. Not a lot of excitement for this podcast, but I did get to see Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom in a theater. So that was pretty cool.
And speaking of excitement.
Yes.
There's going to be a new family edition. Is this correct?
Oh, that's right, Eric. Yeah. More important than seeing Temple of Doom in the theater is that it's funny. Okay, so on the last episode of the podcast, I think, you know, we always ask, you know, we ask each other, hey, is anything going on in your life? It's like, not really.
Right.
And I think I said that. And then my brother listened to the episode. He's like, you know, it's funny. You know, Eric asked you anything going on in your life and you said not really. And my brother and his wife are pregnant. And I knew that at the time, and they had already announced it, so I could have mentioned it. Mm-hmm. But the point of this story is to say, Kiki's going to be an uncle.
Kiki's going to be an uncle.
Uncle Kiki.
I got some uncle tips, Dolph.
Do
if
you?
If you need them, yeah.
Are you a good uncle?
Let me tell you what's fantastic about being an uncle.
Okay, they're not your kids.
Yes! Yes! I will spend like an hour with one of my nephews.
And then you can go home.
I'm like, see you soon.
Yep.
You know, and I shoot them the peace sign. It's fucking fantastic.
And you don't have to support them financially.
No, I'm just there to, you know, be an additional friend.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We didn't go straight to, that's great. Congratulations. You went straight to, it's great because you only have to spend a few hours with them.
I saw a silly tweet and I wish I could remember the author, but it's like, all my friends who have children, I'm now making the sacrifice of getting to do what I want.
Yes.
And it's like, goddamn, that's true.
Yeah. So Yeah, shout out to my brother and his wife, Ben and Sabra. They're having a baby boy. Which
baby boy?
I think what happened...
Have they settled on a name yet, or are we getting too far ahead of ourselves?
I think I know what their name is, but no. The, okay. The public answer is no.
Public answer
they don't
is
have
no.
a name yet.
Okay.
So stay tuned, everyone out there, for that.
We'll keep you updated on the next pod. As soon as we hear it, we'll let you know.
Yeah. No, so I think what happened in my head was... that they hadn't done their gender reveal yet. We recorded, like, I think 3 days before their gender reveal. So in my head, I'm like, well, you know, it's not necessarily fully announced and going. So, I still not saying anything about it. But anyways, it's just funny. I'll also say that I want to mention on the last episode of the podcast, I had like that fucked up cough and like my throat was fucked up. Remember that? I had like a cough drop in.
I remember that shit.
Yeah, and I know everyone out there, this is super like enthralling mystery. I'm doing better. It was like 2 months ago. Yeah,
I had a gnarly cold or something.
Did
you? Like in between episodes, like I just felt like mucus was going to be the rest of my life.
Really?
But fortunately, I'm over that now.
Yeah, that sucked. Like Eric and I were delaying recording the podcast because I was like, man, my throat's fucked up. And then it was like a week and 2 weeks. And I was like, let's just record. And then I had to edit that episode, and I just...
You're on pins and nails the entire time?
Yeah, not that we're like a big podcast, but I'm like, fuck, this sounds horrible. Because I just knew I sounded horrible. Now, yes, the joke is, of course, I sound horrible every episode.
Sure.
But I sounded particularly worse on the last episode. So shout out to me for overcoming that sickness.
Speaking of how you sounded, I had a coworker yesterday tell me, she said... Has anybody ever told you you have a voice for radio? And I fought with everything in me, not to mention
actually,
this podcast.
Well,
and guess what?
I have a horror podcast.
I was successful.
Really?
I politely smiled and laughed, and that was the end of the fucking conversation.
Wow, Dom.
I did not tell her.
That could have spawned something special, Dom.
Would you like to hear my horror movie podcast that I do with my buddy? Nope. E-Dog, refrain.
No, it's funny. Like, I'm not ashamed of this podcast in any way to like horror fans and people that you know listen to us like we listen to horror podcasts, so not at all, but it is funny. Like my mom, for instance, will be like, oh, I told so and so that you do a podcast, and I'm like, oh, right. Oh no. Are they gonna listen to it?
Right.
You know, partly because one, obviously we're sadistic fucks that like a bunch of weird horror movies, and then two, you know, we say a bunch of stupid shit.
True.
So you know, but I don't mind if horror fans hear the stupid shit.
Sure.
But my mom's friends, it's like, yeah, maybe they don't need to hear this.
Right. We kind of have a Facebook attitude on here, huh?
Yeah.
I won't say anything because it's like my mom and my aunt on Facebook.
Right.
So you follow me on Twitter, I'm talking about how bad my farts smell.
Yes. And so shout out to all of our mom's friends.
Correct.
Yes. And on that note, I got over sickness. I'm going to be an uncle. Mm-hmm. And Eric's job is going horrible as usual.
As usual.
So we're back to the status quo.
Correct.
Yeah. And on that note, I think that's it for our opening. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we're going to review Scream 6. We'll mm-hmm. give our new franchise ranking.
Correct.
But we're also going to do a small what we've been watching segment.
Yes.
And let's kick it off now.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat.
The sparkling drinks are just dandy. The chocolate bars and the candy. So let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Okay, Eric.
Yes.
Do you want to talk The Last of Us first?
Let's do it. The season finale was this week.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we'll do our best not to like spoil it because obviously it's like 9 hours?
It is 9 hours of television, maybe a little more.
Yeah. So it's possible people haven't fully finished it by the time they hear this. But, you know, we mentioned it on the last episode, like, boy, this has started really good. I hope it's good. And Eric.
They stuck the landing.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, why don't you start? I mean, you love the games. You've played both, right?
I have.
So I have not played the second game, but I've beat the first game.
Let me ask you this. When all those spoilers leaked for the second video game, were you able to steer clear of them?
No.
Oh, okay.
But let's not talk about that.
No, we're not. Okay.
But yes, I'm aware of things that are going to happen. But, you know, that's fine. I mean, I played
the first. Maybe they'll change it.
Exactly. And still, it's like, but how, you know, for me, yes, spoilers are a big deal to me. But also, if the storytelling is good, it's not going to matter. If right. I care about these characters, it's not going to matter if I already know. So, sure. Yeah. So, Eric, just, I mean, at least, did you love it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've always said, or at least I've mentioned it, you know, zombies are my favorite subgenre.
Yes.
And I just love how serious this take is on the genre. And I thought it was great. You know, in such a tired genre, they gave us something fresh. What are you thinking?
I just thought it was kind of astounding that, like, they took it so, kind of what you're saying, like, they took it so seriously. Mm-hmm. And I was just kind of blown away, like, from, you know, PlayStation Studios and, you know, their first party, for instance. You know, they made that fucking Uncharted movie. I'm not saying this crew. What I'm saying is another Naughty Dog
property
was made into a film that I think is just, like, basically commercial piece of shit. Mm-hmm. And the other one is a fucking gorgeous HBO miniseries.
Right.
You know, I mean, I know there's going to be more seasons, but it's just kind of astounding the contrast between those two things. It was just exciting to see like a...
Has there been anything said about like why Neil Druckmann held on to The Last of Us so closely, whereas Uncharted became kind of this... fucking joke. Movie that I went to the theater and slept through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I honestly, I don't know.
You don't know.
I don't know what happened. I mean, it's kind of, you know, I guess it kind of seems like better for TV, but Uncharted would have been good for TV. But yeah, you know what? I was thinking they should make a fucking big budget. It would cost a lot more money.
Crash Bandicoot,
Eric. Yeah. Horizon.
Oh.
Zero Dawn. Horizon.
I've not played the game, but I know what you're talking about.
But I feel like that would be good for this treatment.
Sure.
A similar like post-apocalypse setting, you know, after humanity and the whole thing that everybody fucking loves.
The whole thing that everybody already done.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was just exciting that, you know, I guess just because the series is over for now, just things that stood out to me is obviously just Pedro Pascal as Joel. Mm-hmm. Great. But I think the more surprising aspect was Bella Ramsey as Ellie. Yeah. I think initially it was kind of hard to adjust to her because I feel like I know Ellie well from that first game.
Sure.
And they're different, I feel like, you know, but she's like better, basically. Mm. Favorite episodes were the ones that weren't the main storyline.
Right.
Like my favorite two episodes were, is it the two Bills? What's their name? Bill and
Frank.
Frank.
Right. They deviated from the game.
Yep. And then the mall episode, which I know is the DLC. But those are my two favorite episodes.
You know, my least favorite episode was the David stuff when they run into the like religious cult.
Sure.
But you know what? Yes.
I don't know. It's not really a big spoiler.
Well, what's wild is like even though that was my least favorite episode, it was like still good.
It was so good. Yeah. Like, I think the two. This is, just to agree with you, I think the two worst episodes are actually the finale, essentially, the final, that one and the finale. Mm. I think the finale is great, but it's sort of just like, that's something I want to comment on, and then we don't have to talk about this forever, but the pacing of the show. Ben and I, you know, shout out my brother, we're talking about how like it was just, I've never seen a show, miniseries with this breakneck pace. And it's obvious that it's because basically they're just doing the cutscenes from the game. And, you know, the game, you know, you have, you know, these large sequences of shooting people and that takes up a lot of time, where this is literally just like the cutscenes from the game to an extent. But it was cool. I felt like it was something new. You know, I felt like it was, I'd never seen a show with this pacing. It was very fast. I mean, you know, you'll have something you think is going to go on for episodes and they're just instantly fixed and on to the next thing.
Right. I'm going to just basically reiterate what you're saying, but yeah, I mean, the first game took me 16 hours and it's because you're doing video gamey things.
Yeah.
This is just a story.
And I guess my point is like, if you're adapting something, generally you expand it and they did, but then even when they get back to the game, they're like, well, get to the next fucking thing, next fucking thing. Again, I'm not saying that's necessarily bad. It was surprising to me. I haven't seen something that quickly paced that spans that length of time. But it was cool. It was exciting. And to see something that quick, And yeah, I can't wait for the next season. I hope they take their time. Like, just, you could take 4 years for all I care.
That's, I mean, this, the bar is wildly low. That's probably the best video game adaptation, right?
Yeah. What's another example? Not like Resident Evil and shit like that. Like, what's another one that's good?
Sonic.
You know, I never saw those two Sonic movies.
Well, the first one anyways.
Yeah. Trying to think of what else. What are we missing? Uncharted? No, I'm just kidding.
I'm just joking. The Street Fighter movie?
Yes.
And Mortal Kombat tried hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man. What a disappointment that movie was. I forgot that came out.
Yeah.
But
2021?
I think it was a 2020 release. Came out during the...
No, because I remember we were allowed to go back to the theater.
Oh.
And then that weekend, the cases in New Mexico went back up. And so they had to shut the theater down after we had already bought tickets.
What a blast that was. Yeah. And anyway, so we'll just, yeah. What I would like more of, honestly, from The Last of Us is like more of those cold opens from the...
Oh, yeah.
From before.
It helped establish the story. And what was great was that stuff's not in the game. So it was fun to see something new.
And that felt like the most like Craig Mazin, Chernobyl like with those openings. And I was hoping they were going to continue that. And they sort of came off of that. But yeah, it's just, I mean, this is better than it has any right to be. I mean, it's fucking incredible.
It's good.
So yeah, Last of Us. I did want to mention again, which I'm going to do apparently forever, which is Station 11. If you have not seen Station 11 and you liked Last of Us, watch Station 11. I actually think Station 11 could possibly, I'm not ready to say this, possibly be better as a whole than this. But it's only because it's actually, it's its own story, right? It's not trying to adapt a video game cutscenes. And like, I'm trying to say that Last of Us felt like something different, where I feel like Station 11 was allowed to like, right from beginning to end, a perfect thing for television, where this was had the weight of being an adaptation. I don't know. Anyways, the whole point of this is please watch Station 11. It's so fucking good. Yeah.
If you had a pick between Station 11 and Chernobyl, what would you say? If you're recommending me one to watch.
Station 11.
Station 11.
Chernobyl's probably better. Like, Chernobyl's the Oscar fucking one that's like, one of the best pieces of things ever. Station 11's more emotional and character driven. Okay. Chernobyl's not really character driven. It's more of like the process and the problems. And I would tell you to watch Station 11, but you should watch Chernobyl now just because of Craig Mazin and the whole.
Not that I'm familiar with some of his work.
Yeah.
I see.
If you take anything from this, watch Chernobyl and Station 11.
Well, I've got a lot of video games to play, so my time is limited.
A lot. And they're not Halo.
And they're not Halo. But I am playing Halo.
Me too.
But I also play another shit.
I know. I wish I did. And with that, Last of Us.
That was The Last of Us, yeah. So I guess now we're going to move on to some other what we've been watching. Is that correct, Keegan?
Cocaine Bear?
We watched Cocaine Bear. And
yeah. Elizabeth Banks, Cocaine Bear.
I had no idea she was directing that till like I was going into the theater, which is weird, right? Crazy. Yeah. And you know what? I liked Cocaine Bear, but it's definitely like, I don't give a fuck. Yeah. It was fun.
I had a blast watching
it. I laugh, but like.
The ending is trash.
Oh my God. That's where it lost me.
Once it gets dark, you can't see any of it and right. It's horrible.
They're in a cave. And,
yeah.
And the film becomes dark.
But total fun at the theater. This is why we go to the movies.
Right. I mean, it was like goofy deaths.
Yeah.
I'm
violent as fuck for no reason. At one
point, I was laughing so hard during Cocaine Bear, I felt dumb that other people could like see me possibly and hear me laughing that hard in a public space.
What were you laughing at?
When the detective is on top of
the gazebo.
The gazebo, and he's afraid of heights.
Let me just,
he goes, so hard.
Let me find my way down. You know,
how'd you even get up there?
Well, I saw it with my brother, and I told him, I was like, you know, it's funny. I realized he never gets down from there.
He doesn't.
In the film, he never gets down from there.
Right.
Yeah, Cocaine Bear.
It's worth a watch. How about that?
Totally.
How about that?
And honestly, just for like the crazy violent scenes with the bear, I wish there was more. Like, I feel like, but I think our bloodlust is a little higher than most people.
Sure.
Like, I was like, really? At times, it's like, holy shit, violent. And then at other times, it's like walking through the woods for like 3 hours in like a broad comedy. But I guess it's for normal people?
I guess for such a wacky premise, I kept waiting for like...
explosion.
There's going to be more funny stuff. And there is, but maybe not quite to my expectations.
Yeah, and I think the biggest problem with Cocaine Bear is the height of the film is the paramedic stuff.
And that's kind of early.
Yeah, it's like the midpoint. Once the paramedic thing happens, the movie is like dead. Mm. And then there's like 45 minutes to an hour left.
Right.
But yeah, Cocaine Bear is cool.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're interested in a movie...
3 on Letterboxd.
That's a little high.
That's a little high.
If, a little high, Dot. But if you're interested in Cocaine Bear, watch it because it's fucking fun. It was a blast at the theater.
It's available to rent now at home.
PVOD, as you always say.
PVOD, as E-Dog likes to say.
It's funny.
It's PVOD and E-Dog is E-D-A-W-G-F. Yeah.
This might be the shortest new release review ever because I have nothing else to say.
Sure. That's fine.
Cocaine Bear.
Not everything has to be fucking fine art, literature.
What? Really?
Correct.
Fuck, I got to go back to the drawing board and figure that out.
Yep.
Eric,
yep.
What is your thing that I haven't seen? Your one, what you've been watching?
Oh, I finally watched the original 1931 Dracula.
Oh.
In anticipation of Renfield.
Yeah.
I'm obviously wild excited for Renfield because of Nicolas Cage. And so for Christmas, I got the Universal 4K set of... it's Dracula, Frankenstein, the Wolfman, and the Invisible Man. And last October, I got the second volume, which is Bride,
Creature,
Mummy, and the Phantom. And
Creature's so good.
Creature's excellent. And just off the top of my head, I think I'd have to go between, as much as I like Creature, and I know I'm supposed to be talking Dracula right now, I'd probably say I either like Frankenstein or the Invisible Man the most. Frankenstein, because the gothic... setting is very visually appealing to me.
Yeah.
And Invisible Man, just because I love how maniacal and bloodthirsty that character of Jack Griffin is. But Dracula, I find it very hard to kind of review these films, especially in the age of Letterboxd. And what I mean by that is you want to acknowledge, at least I do, the precedent these films set.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. The groundwork that they laid. And but also I'm also reviewing the film as like, how do I like it being a person living in the year 2023?
So what you're saying is it was boring as fuck.
That is not what I'm saying.
Okay.
And another criteria that I have is like, would I rewatch this? And that's a big yes. Because all these fucking classic Universal monster movies, none of them are past 75 minutes. So you turn them on.
True.
And they're fucking over already, yeah. You know? And it's great because, you know, I felt like when I was watching Dracula, I'd almost like already heard half of the film just because of so many different horror punk bands sampling the film. So it was great to finally, you know, see the dialogue in the context that it's in. There's just so many great looking shots. And now that I know who Renfield is, so now I'm prepared for the new film. So I had a blast watching the original 1931 Dracula.
Nice.
I feel like I want to do Francis Ford Coppola's next.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that one you've seen?
I've never seen that.
Man, that cover art, that VHS cover art where it's like the stone wall
yes.
with like the devil Dracula face. I mean, that's ingrained in my head because that's something I'd always see at Hastings.
I've talked about it at Albertsons in like the little rental area. I used to always look at it there. Yeah, we've talked about it that I always feel like I've had like a Universal Monsters blind spot. Like I own Creature. I have this like steelbook and I've seen Creature and I've seen pieces of the rest of the movies, but I don't think I've ever sat down and watched them fully
the
except for Creature and maybe Frankenstein.
Mm.
I don't know.
I took a classic literature class when I was attending the community college here. And we had to read the original novel. And that's what sparked me to watch the film.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're wildly different, but they're both wildly excellent.
No, that's dope.
Yeah.
Are you going to... do you have plans to take out the rest of that box set?
100%.
But, like, soon or, like, when you get to it?
Both, if that makes sense.
Okay.
And the reason I say soon is because my watch pile, I'm running out of space where to put unwatched Blu-rays. So he needs to get this shit watched and up on the shelf.
I know the feeling all too fucking well.
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, anyway, that was Dracula.
That was a blast. Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, fuck yeah.
Kiki.
Well, I just have one thing. And I showed you. I bought the Slumber Party Massacre 1 and 2 double feature 4K.
4K.
From Scream Factory.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I don't To my knowledge, I've never seen this movie.
The original?
Yeah, or part two? Slumber Party Massacre. I haven't watched two yet, which I've never seen. Mm. So I have not seen this movie. This is Slumber Party Massacre. And yeah, this is just kind of a lot of fun early on. And I kind of got bored of it by like the midpoint because I was like, this is just fun, like BS. It's not really, I don't know. I wasn't in love with it. I was like, oh, this is cool. But man, about this 4K set, like, did I need this, you know, in 4K?
You've already watched both films.
No.
No. Okay.
I've only watched one.
Okay.
And yeah, Slumber Party Massacre 1 is, it's fine. It's good. I was like, oh, this is cool. It reminded me a lot of Slaughter High. Kind of similar, like, party aspect. I did like the, that it focuses on, like, the sorority girls. I think they're in a sorority, but the whatever. Actually, it might be high school. It doesn't matter. The point is that it's very women focused.
The point is I was nodding off while I was watching the film, okay?
So I did like it, but that the reason I'm setting this up this way is I was like kind of it was maybe 30 minutes left and I was kind of like, all right, what, you know, that was cool, right? Sure. And I just wanted to say, and I know this sounds weird, if you don't know the film, you might not, you know, understand what I'm getting at, but it actually gets super fucking intense in like the final 25 minutes maybe. And I was like, damn, I actually really like this. And it kind of spawned something in my head that on this podcast, I'm always trying to, you know, I love film. I like talking about film. I like trying to figure out what I like. And it's sometimes hard to articulate, you know, out loud what makes you like something. And one of the things that I was thinking about that made me like this movie, and I can better explain for other films, is it gets intense. And I realized I'm generally looking for intensity in movies that I love. It doesn't have to just be a horror movie. They don't all have to have intensity, but when a film does, that's when it gets good to me. That's why, you know, I think another thing we are always commenting on is like mean-spirited violence. Mm-hmm. But you and I have also tried to figure out, well, how come I don't like some things that are violent for no reason? So a lot of times I'll say the phrase, yeah, but I felt like there was no point. It was just violent. Who cares? And I kind of have a hard time explaining it. And this movie, which I know is weird to say, Slumber Party Massacre, I was like, oh, it's that the violence needs to be intense. I don't just like silly slapstick violence. It's fun. Mm-hmm. But if it's just there, it doesn't matter to me. But if it's intense and it feels like it matters, which intense is the word I've come up with. Yeah, so the final 20 minutes made me really like this movie. What were you going to say?
I guess just kind of, I was going to ask you to elaborate.
Yeah.
And maybe you kind of already answered this question. But so intenseness for you is like physicalness then? Because I guess intenseness could mean, for me, yes, physicalness. But also like if there's a dramatic shift in the story of the film, you know. That can add to intensity.
Again, without sounding like a psychopath, I have said this before on this podcast that I felt like a film needed more screaming. Which can make something intense. And it's kind of like, I think it's a good example in Scream 6, like when Ghostface just bursts in and kills someone, it's like, okay. But when it's our characters and they're worried about another character we care about dying and they're screaming at each other and don't want someone to die. And
the escape route is not
is
safe.
A window. Exactly. Right. And I'm glad, because I was going to bring that up when we do our review. That's intensity. That the characters are feel like something is really, you know, intense. I don't want to keep repeating the word, but yeah. And when it feels like it matters. Anyway, so yeah, Slumber Party Massacre, the final 25 minutes get like fucked up and mean almost, which is a word we use a lot. And that's where I was like, oh, this is really good. So yeah, this whole review is based around that. I have notes that I want to read.
Lay them on me,
Slumber Party Massacre 4K. My notes are: disc looks way better than it has any right.
I was going to ask about it.
Yeah, it looks great. It looks really good. Halloween knockoff. Because early on, it's basically just Halloween. There's people follow. The killer follows them home, drives behind them. It's basically a Halloween ripoff. Let's see. Pretty girls naked.
Yes.
A lot of that in the film, which I did not have any issue with. There's even like a scene of them like showering, and it's kind of like voyeuristic and weird.
Yeah,
like
it's early in the film, right?
Yeah, and there's no reason for them to be showering naked in the film. It's just like a way for to be naked, basically.
Right.
So, but I guess I'm not complaining about that. Great ending. Ending is intense and fucked up. And I have a quote from the film. When the killer kills one of the women at one point, it gets serious. In like the one of the final kill, he's about to kill this woman, and he's above her on the, and she's on the floor, and he says, "You know you want it, mm-hmm. you'll love it." And I was like, "Holy shit! Okay, this movie's about something finally." You know you want it, you'll love it. And she responds to him, "I don't even know you." Yeah. Mm-hmm. So sorry, that was a disparate, crazy review to say the intensity of the final act appealed to me, and I felt like the film was actually about something. Which is, you know, like a stalker for women.
Right. I almost feel like it was already commenting on the fucking internet.
Yes. Right? And it's, and
it's way before the internet.
In a film that's basically flippant and worthless for like the first 45 minutes. Like I said, there's literally just people showering for no reason. So they're naked. And then it has like a comment at the end and it's intense. I was like, damn, this is actually much better than I thought it was.
Well, my homework assignment to you now is
the remake.
Yeah.
I'm aware.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, I know. And then you told me that it flips it on its head, and that's basically the narrative of that film.
So I'm glad you like Slumber Party Massacre.
Yeah, Slumber Party Massacre is great, Dom.
It's good shit.
That's Slumber Party Massacre. Scream Factory put out a 4K. It looks great. Not the greatest disc ever, but it looks fucking really good.
Can I give you a weird piece of trivia for part two?
Sure.
The guy who plays the killer in part two, his family, at least at the time, owned Little Caesars.
Like
the pizza company.
I was going to say like the one in Carlsbad.
That'd probably be more interesting. Yeah. But no, like the company.
Yeah, the company.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So now you have that going into part two.
Well, thank you for that bit of trivia, Eric.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And with that, I think that's it for what we've been watching, right? We're going to get to our Scream shit.
It was pretty good. Yep.
But before we do that.
Eric
has advised me that we do not have, he does not have a, I'm not going to sing it because we don't have it. Eric,
I don't have a Terror Tunes. But I got something for us that involves Kigi.
Kugu.
Yeah.
Uncle Kigi.
May I start?
Eric, you may start.
Okay. So something that we've often done in the last few episodes but have not done recently is trivia. So I was like, I'm going to come up with trivia for Kigi.
Okay. That's I love it. I love it, Eric.
Specifically, Scream 1 through 5.
Perfect.
I've got a trivia question for you.
Before you start, you want me to do like a drum roll?
If you'd like.
Eric Coffin's Trivia Hour.
Eric Coffin's Trivia Hour.
I don't know if this will be a regular thing, but I just thought it'd be fun.
No, I know, but you know,
it's fun to sing.
I kind of like the idea of trying to come up with trivia.
I do too.
And
you can be like our little trivia master.
And I'll say this. I thought of this like just off the top of my head. I tried not to be like dumb bullshit. Like, what color shirt is Randy wearing? Nothing like that. Like, okay. Reasonable.
What questions. You're saying is don't be mad at you if it's shitty.
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
I think they're fun, you know. Okay. So, Keegan, E-Dog is going to test your Scream knowledge on our Scream 6 review episode. Are you ready?
I'm ready, Dom. I'm excited.
Okay.
Do I sound excited?
Not really.
Okay.
In the first Scream, Randy is ranting to Billy and Stu that the cops are, and this is a quote, always off track with this shit. What slasher film does Randy suggest the police need to watch?
Fuck, duh. I know the scene you're talking about. What scene?
In the video store.
Yes. The only thing that comes to mind is The Town That Dreaded Sundown, so I do not know.
You see, the cops are always off track with this shit. If they'd watch Prom Night, they'd save time.
Gotcha.
There's a formula. A very simple formula. Everybody's a suspect.
Okay. Got it, Eric. Thank you.
Yep. I even got to act out the scene. That was great.
Okay. I love it.
Okay. Moving on. We're moving on to Scream 2 now, Dom.
I'm ready, Dom.
In Scream 2, what real-life director's name do we see on the theater screen directed Stab?
Isn't it Robert Rodriguez?
You are correct.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on to 3. In Scream 3, I was taking a shit this morning when I thought of these. If that's,
did you write this out? By the way, Eric is holding a piece of paper
that I hand wrote.
These that he hand wrote these questions on.
Yep. Okay. In Scream 3, when the killer is in Cotton's home, what band is playing when Cotton's girlfriend gets out of the shower?
Fuck. Isn't it like a? Isn't it Creed or Pearl Jam or something like that?
Your first answer was correct. It is Creed.
It's Creed. Oh, it's fucking Creed. Why didn't you just say it was Creed? Damn it. You made me sound stupid saying Pearl Jam. Yeah, Creed.
Creed. Okay, this next one is tough, and I had to YouTube the scene.
Are you happy that I at least knew that answer?
Yeah, that's great. You're 2 for 3 right now. All right,
go ahead.
Okay. Moving on to Scream 4.
We love Scream 4.
We do love Scream 4. When Kirby receives a phone call from the killer starts to ask a question about remakes, and Kirby just starts to name remakes. How many remakes total does Kirby name?
So I know the scene, of course. Mm-hmm. Let's say she names, because of course I don't know the exact number. Let's say she names 13.
You're damn close. 15.
Damn it.
Damn close. Okay. Damn. And my last trivia question for you. In Scream 5, we learn that Terror prefers elevated horror films.
The Babadook.
Yep. Which film does she state that she prefers at the end?
The Babadook.
The Babadook.
Yep. Which is an Easter egg in Scream 6.
Right. He's on the subway train.
Yep.
Yeah. And when we were watching Scream 6 today, I was looking for something and I couldn't come up with anything, duh. As a trivia question for you.
No, in general about the film.
No.
And that's your review.
Yep.
Just kidding, duh.
Yep. So.
That was awesome, duh.
That was E-Dog's.
You should do that. Yeah, trivia. I should. And I maybe I could do it for you someday, but I probably won't.
You probably won't.
Maybe I could do it while I'm taking
this took time.
Shit. Yeah, and we don't want to take time. I mean, God forbid.
No. I had to watch that fucking 40-second scene of Scream 4 to count.
That was awesome, though. And that was, what was it? Eric Coffin's
Trivia Hour?
Trivia Hour. Eric Coffin's
I probably just need to bring the cards hour. Back.
But then I liked that, Doc.
But then that's another thing. You know, we've already done the cards, and then I told the story about how the cards got fucking, they fell out of the case, and now I don't know where we're at. And
How's your car doing, by the way?
Seems okay. Took it to El Paso for Scream 6.
Did you?
Yeah.
You drove it there? Nice.
I drove it there, yeah.
And on that perfect segue,
it's time for us to review Scream 6. And so I guess what we're going to do,
we haven't discussed
this.
We got to play the Grindhouse music.
Okay, play that Grindhouse music, duh.
The pause helps me edit.
The pause helps him edit.
And on that note, Eric, our Scream 6 review. But
yeah,
go ahead.
I guess we'll just talk about what we thought and then we'll do spoilers afterwards.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Good point. Yeah. So we're not going to, we'll do our best not to spoil Scream 6 here, but we will talk spoilers and we'll warn you when we do it.
Yep. Okay. So Scream 6. I guess I'd like to start off with how we watched it, huh?
Sure. Yeah. Tell us your story. I'd love to hear it. Yeah.
So I watched it in El Paso with Dana and Melissa. We went to the Scream 6 3D fan event in El Paso, Texas, at the East Alamo Draft House. And it was awesome because the crowd that showed up for it was people who want to see Scream 6. It was motherfuckers wearing Ghostface costumes. It was motherfucker wearing Ghostface t-shirts, you know. So
there was motherfuckers listening to Ghostface Killa in the parking lot.
I just right away knew, shout out Wu-Tang Clan. So, you know, I was in proper company, right? You know, and boy, I got a story that I'm going to tell about Dana that he probably doesn't want me to tell. But Dana, like anytime we bring up the podcast around him, he's like malicious about how he never fucking listens to us. So it doesn't fucking matter.
Like, he like comments and talks to us. Like, I think he listens. I think he's a fucking liar.
Okay. Well, Dana, if you do listen, then tell me because I'm about to tell this mean ass story.
But before you get to that, Eric, what's that lyric from that prom night song? Down with the something something like Dana. Da, 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 da. What is that lyric? Down and
no, it's Time Ninja, E-Dog, and Dana kicking it out like a couple of gangsters. Time Ninja, E-Dog, and Dana.
Yep. Thank you, Eric.
You're welcome. That was some prom night for you. Sung live on Cool Squad.
Eric used to have a horror punk band in high school. Anyways.
Yep.
So your Dana story.
Okay, so we get there a little early and we're just kind of hanging out, you know, and then the theater opens, the auditorium opens 30 minutes before the showtime. And I was dead set that we got there at 4:30, that the movie was at 5 because I wanted to see the Alamo pre-show.
Of course.
And it sucked. It was stupid. It was dumb. It was like, I don't even know what it was. It was like somebody dressed in a Ghostface costume, like dancing like in the subway. And it was like so long. And then they did like a recap of 4 and 5 and that was fine. But I was disappointed in the Alamo Scream 6 pre-show.
Did yours play that little thing before the movie?
It did, where it was Melissa Barrera and Courtney Cox saying, thank you for being there. I also didn't know that it was just going to regularly be in 3D. Like, I thought us going to that was like a one-time special showing of it in 3D. And I will say, 3D was cool, but that's not the way the film needs to be seen.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyways, we get to...
Just a comment. I'd like to see it in 3D just because it's cool. It's cool that they put, you know, slasher in 3D is always fun. It's not shot in 3D, so this is not quite the same thing as, like, My Bloody Valentine, which is fucking awesome.
Correct.
But we wanted to actually go to it today in 3D, but it was 30 minutes later, so we didn't. So I have not seen it in 3D.
Mm. I'm glad to have seen it in both formats.
Yeah, that's badass.
And also, I'm glad I saw it in El Paso for a reason Keegan will tell you about.
Yes.
So we get in there, we get our seats, and as soon as we sit down, I tell them I'm going to go to the bathroom. And while I'm gone, I guess they need to check our ticket stubs. But Dana tells him, oh, we're the guy who has our tickets, you know, because they're on my phone. He's gone to the bathroom. So we're in D789 or something. And Dana sits in 10. And I don't say anything. Like,
so he sat in the wrong seat.
He sits in the wrong seat.
Oh, my God.
And I don't know if he doesn't hear me, if he doesn't want to sit next to Melissa. I don't know what it is. I don't say anything, right? And the chairs in this, at least specific auditorium.
Speaking of chairs, I got to move mine.
Yeah, the big show in the El Paso East Alamo Draft House. The tables don't swivel. And Dana's a big man. So he struggles. He struggles, dog. It's been a struggle.
Getting into the seat. And I'm not making fun of Dana's way.
No.
I'm just saying it's tough for him to
get into the seat. I know the feeling of struggling to get into a seat, so I am definitely not making fun of it. Go ahead, Eric.
So I'm just trying to tell this story. That's all. You dog's just fucking telling the story.
He's riding along.
So we're sitting there. And
he's struggling.
And the person who should be in 10 complains to the fucking usher. And I can hear the usher speaking with the person who should be in 10.
By the way, as he should complain.
Okay.
Because someone's in his fucking seat.
I hear the...
We live in a society, dawg.
I hear the usher tell the person, well, the seats you're in, nobody has bought. You're okay if you stay there. But they want their motherfucking seat that they paid for.
I would too.
So that lady comes back and she's like, hey, can I see your tickets again? So I pull up my email. And she's like, oh, you're in the wrong seat. You're in 7, 8, and 9, and this is 10. So Dana, now all eyes are on fucking Dana as he struggles to get out of the seat and into the correct seat. And so the first time I watched Scream 6, I didn't see anything or hear anything because I was just worried about Dana. That's not true. But
well, you had social anxiety.
Yes, that happened
for sure.
Nothing unfortunate
happened to Dana. He didn't fall or
no. It was just everyone had a struggle seeing him get out
and into the it's a scrag seat.
Yeah,
fire up the jets, Jeffrey. Come on, old boy, fire up the jets.
Yeah, which is basically what was happening while Dana was getting in and out of that seat. But the film itself. No, it was great. And I'm very happy that I saw it in El Paso because you take it away.
For sure. So Eric saw it in the best way possible with Dana sitting in the wrong seat.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it basically in the worst way possible, which is in Carlsbad, New Mexico at the La Cueva 6 Theater. And, you know, it's premiere night. You don't even know part of the story.
Oh, wait on.
It's premiere night. The entire theater is sold out.
Okay.
It's exciting. Full of people to the brim. They put it in a tiny ass screen because this theater company and city doesn't know what the fuck they're doing.
Correct.
So it's in the small screen. That's fine. Everything's fine. I'm not going to complain. However, all the trailers play. There's no horror trailers. So it's a bit odd. I thought, yeah, man, these guys, nah, I'm not going to be too mean. Wow. They didn't put any horror trailers on this. That's weird. Plays all the trailers, the film starts, and there's a MGM logo on the screen. And me being a fucking nerd, looks over at Ben and says, Scream's not MGM, because Scream is Paramount, and Spyglass, not MGM. So I was like, Scream's not MGM? And he looks at me, he's trying to figure out what I'm saying. And I'm like, this is not fucking Scream. It's Creed 3. So it's just Creed 3. So we watch the first...
probably 15 seconds of Creed 3. And I said out loud, I said, I'll get up and go tell them. Also, during this time.
Let me ask you this. When you walk into the auditorium, is the Scream 6 poster
yes.
at the door?
Okay. Yes.
So you're in the right auditorium, 100%.
We are in the right auditorium.
Okay.
At this point, I have an existential crisis worrying that they don't have it loaded onto that projector. I used to work at the movie theater when I was in high school. They still have the same system. There's like hard drives and shit. And if it's not on that fucking projector, we might be fucked. So I'm like, shit. So I just walk straight up. I noticed the lights didn't go down, but it's Creed 3. So who cares? So I go to the counter and I tell the attendant person behind the counter. I say, hey, screen, it's not Scream playing, it's Creed. And they say, what screen are you in? Well, the one that fucking Scream is in. Why would you ask me that? Don't you work here? So I said, I don't know, whichever one Scream's in. And I said, well, you know, of course I'm nice. I said, well, thank you. Okay, we'll fix it. Thank you.
And walked this away. Is like 8:30 at night, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Which I worked the next morning.
So that's already a bummer. You're off to a late start.
Yes, yes. And I also say, the lights didn't go down. They're like, oh, okay. I'll try to fix that. Okay, thanks. Go sit back down. Wait. Takes them a while.
Do you have to watch the trailers again?
They played one trailer, which is when I found out that they did have horror trailers attached. It was just playing Creed. So the trailer plays, I think it was the Pope's Exorcist trailer, and the movie starts, and Scream is now starting, but the lights don't go down. And when I say lights, I mean the highest the lights can be, that's how high they are. Mm. In case you're not a theater nerd, there's three lights, right? There is full lights, there's trailer lights, and then there's movie lights, right? They're not even on the trailer lights. The lights are on. Mm. And so I say out loud, I said, I'm not going again. One of you guys needs to go. Because I just went, you know right. what I mean? And everybody can see me. It's a tiny ass theater. Right. So if someone gets up and goes and he comes back in, he's like, he looks at us, he says, they said they're going to call their manager.
To and turn off lights.
Eric? Yes. To turn off lights. And we proceeded to watch all 2 hours of Scream 6, whatever the runtime is, with the lights on. And that's it.
And that alone makes me happy that I watched Scream 6 in El Paso.
So, you know, I don't like being, you know, I don't want to be a curmudgeon. So I just tell myself, you know what? Just be happy you're watching Scream 6. And I watched the whole film and tried not to think about it. Mm. But there were certain scenes I couldn't even see what was happening.
Because it was so bright.
Yep. So it was exciting today to see it again. And I could actually see it. And Eric.
That's kind of how I felt, simply because, you know, as awesome as the Draft House is, waiters be running back and forth, taking orders, bringing orders. When they finally bring you your bill, you know, I have to like 2 seconds talk with Melissa because I see her take out her debit card. I'm like, hey, are you sure you want to pay for it? I can get it. You know, so like all that's a little distracting.
More social anxiety. Yeah.
And so it's great that today I was just able to focus on
for sure.
the film. You know?
And I kind of sort of agree because, even minus the lights, you know, there was a lot of people there. The crowd was actually pretty good, but there was a guy behind us that was kind of like at one point, spoilers, but not spoiler because it's everybody knows Kirby is in this film, Hayden Panettiere. And before she's on screen, the guy behind me is like, yeah, Kirby. And I was like, dude.
It sounded like he's just trying to be cool. Like, oh, I know who the character is already.
Eric, it's funny because you pinpointed that is what it was. He was trying to do shit like that. It's like, dog, we all know. Like, we're here for the fucking premiere. I'm wearing his fucking. Oh, and that was the other thing. I was going to quickly say, like, when I walked up, waddled, I'll say, I, as a joke, waddled up to the fucking, excuse me, Scream is Creed 3 by... I'm standing there in a tie-dye ghost face t-shirt like a little kid. The wrong movie is playing. And with that.
So those were our experiences.
Yes.
Let's talk film now, huh?
But Eric and I got to erase both of those, and we saw it again today. Yeah. And verdict survey says...
it's good.
We both love it.
Yeah. I went up half a star on my Letterboxd rating.
Yeah.
Let's talk about why we like this film though, huh?
Yeah. I mean, just to kick off, you know, I'd like you to do what you do, which is kind of explain the film a bit because sure. you're really good at it. But just to kick off, like, I think it's a better movie than the first film, than Scream 5. I think Scream 5 has better themes. But this film, the filmmaking is like way up a notch from the first movie. Mm. Just the level of filmmaking and the the craft and the way it looks. The cinematography is gorgeous. The colors, I mean, I'm thinking about the subway scene is gorgeous. So we'll get to it. But Eric, not what is Scream 6, but tell just us a brief about
synopsis.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. It's, it takes place a year later after the events of Scream 5. Our four main characters.
The Core Four.
Yeah. We learned that they have nicknamed themselves in Scream 6, the Core Four. They've moved to New York, New York. And three of them are now attending college, with Sam's character being there because she wants to be able to continue to protect her little sister, Terror.
Terra.
Thank you for catching that. When, wouldn't you know it, Ghostface comes a-knocking.
Like he does for us all.
And,
yeah, duh.
I mean, that's the easiest way to see Scream, or to describe, I guess, any Scream, right? And in our opening scene, it is Samara Weaving,
yes.
Right? And we learn that she's on a blind date. And, fuck, is it spoilery to say what happens here?
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll save it. Let's just save it. Okay. Yeah, she is in the opening scene.
Okay, so... So it's Scream. We're already attached to this property, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, we already like this. But for me, it was.
I was also very excited that Sam Weaving was in this movie.
Mm.
And again, I guess everybody that knows, has seen the movie, knows why we're not saying anything. But I was very excited for her to be in the movie.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, whenever they announced.
Yeah.
Her. Whenever they announced Kirby.
Yeah.
Was coming back, you know.
You know, and Sam Weaving was obviously in, you know, Radio Silence's Ready or Not.
Correct.
And, of course, we like her from other films like
Mayhem.
Mayhem, which is the way you say it.
You're saying correctly or you're saying I'm saying it weird?
Weird.
Mayhem?
Mayhem.
Mayhem.
Now it sounds weird that way, too.
Mayhem.
Maybe you just sound weird.
I went to, in elementary school, I went to speech impediment school.
God.
And I don't think I ever got over it.
Okay.
I'm saying,
well,
like,
now I feel bad.
I struggle with a lot of pronunciation.
Okay.
And that's not even a joke. That's 100% true story.
Well, and I've been making fun of your incorrect pronunciation since we started for what, 5 years now?
E-Doc has a legit disability. I'm not even kidding. And Kiki's laughing right
now. I'm laughing
now
because you've never said
disability.
That before.
Well, you know, you try to bottle it down. You don't let your disability, you know, define the person that you are, G.
Well, we love Eric, and I will continue doing that.
Okay.
On that note, yes, I was excited for her to be in it. You know, she's also in The Babysitter. She's great in The Babysitter.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, opening scene. What were you going to say?
Well, I guess we won't get there
yet.
Yeah, but
I just feel like that's like specifically a spoiler.
Sure, sure. But again, so we're excited because we already love the property.
Yes,
we love that the new characters that they successfully introduced in part five. We got us a new setting. The film ends up being pretty heavy on the violence and gore.
Yeah,
which was great.
Yeah.
Ghostface
is fucking vicious as hell.
How about this? I won't say specifically what happens in that opening scene, but something does happen in that opening scene where I was just like, whoa, we're going to see something different.
Yeah. And the more I think about it, I guess let's just get to spoilers soon, but
okay.
not yet, but soon, because we do want to talk. I don't want to forget about that,
right.
But yeah, I mean, there's like a, you know, Scream always has like a fun opening scene, right?
Sure.
That's like the whole point of the franchise. I honestly think the best one, other than the first film with Drew Barrymore is four. I fucking think the opening of four, well, two is great too. Fuck. The theater scene. But
exactly.
I love four because it's the meta aspect, you know?
Right.
Why won't you just shut the fuck up? Shit like that. Fuck, it's so good. But yeah, this has a new element I guess we've never seen before. I think, right?
Not what they did in that opening scene.
Yeah.
I mean, that was definitely a total like rug pull. There were several moments watching the film for the first time where my jaw was literally on the floor because I was like, "Oh, they can do that now."
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, for sure. And I will say since we're in the like general stuff, obviously the setting is New York, mm-hmm. Very exciting. They did a good job, but I joked to Ben, I was like, "You mean Toronto?" Because it doesn't really feel like New York. Sometimes it does, and then it really doesn't.
There's no like New York iconography. There's no Statue of Liberty. There's no Times Square.
Yeah.
So I guess there's the subway stuff.
Which I think is the feels the most New York, yeah. And then most of it takes place in buildings.
Sure.
Which, you know, it's a lower budget film, which I understand.
Right. I mean, I thought they did an okay job with capturing the urban setting.
Me too. But I would have liked more. I mean, we got a few drone shots and then we're inside buildings for most of the film. But that's okay. It's all right. And alleys. But anything's better than Jason Takes Manhattan, except for that one scene.
I think you're being a little hard on Jason Takes Manhattan, but we don't have to discuss that, though.
At least it actually tries to take place in New York, where Jason Takes Manhattan takes place on a ship.
For like, but the then when he's at the end, he's fucking throwing motherfuckers in diners. He's kicking fuckers stereos in Times Square.
Well, that's like...
He's staring at the statue. No, he's not staring at the Statue of Liberty. I'm thinking about the time when he sees that hockey sign.
Well, he does that in the trailer, doesn't he? But then that's not in the film.
Oh.
He like stands and sees the... Anyways. My point is, I don't mean to be down on it. My point is I was hoping they were, you know, especially with that Jason Takes Manhattan stigma of the New York stuff. This was just a bit better on the New York stuff. But still, I think the subway helped a lot. But it doesn't necessarily feel that New York.
The subway sequence is my least favorite part of the film.
Really?
I feel like it's drawn out. It was all over the marketing. That's why I'd already like seen that plenty of times prior to actually seeing it in the actual film. I feel like it's there to like build up tension because there's multiple ghost faces. It's established early in the film that the ghost face costume is selling well again.
Yeah.
And it's set on Halloween, which I think is cool. But I don't think the film took advantage of that either. Like when I saw that in the trailer, I was like, we are so fucking spoiled. We're getting Scream 6 on Halloween. But you don't see a fucking jack-o'-lantern anywhere.
There's not
anywhere.
A single jack-o'-lantern in the movie. Yeah.
Right. It was an excuse for people to wear costumes.
Yeah,
which is
sure.
Neat. But I could watch Scream 6 and not think that it's on Halloween.
Yeah. No, I actually didn't notice the first time. But this time I was like, wow. It's not even really how I was like, oh yeah, it's Halloween. I'd already seen the movie.
Right.
I forgot it was fucking Halloween. Right. But yeah, it just gives it like it basically good like iconography to use. We get a lot of like
it's
you know,
fun.
Hellraiser masks.
Exactly.
And shit like
it's
that.
Fun for us, for someone who cares about the genre, being like, oh look, she's dressed up like Ju-on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's Midsummer and there's the Babadook.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
There's the Cocaine Bear. That film just came out. Why is it already in here?
Cocaine Bear. Yeah, but anyways.
Is that Jack Nicholson? Shut up, fool. That's Chuck Woolery.
And with that, what else before we get to spoilers? Well, we love it. It was fucking awesome. Yeah, the level of violence is way higher.
Yeah.
Ghostface is like ruthless and crazy.
And now we know there can be a good Scream film without, and I'm not saying I don't want her.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm not saying that, but there can be a good Scream without the character of Sidney Prescott.
Yeah. I agree. You know, it's funny. Once the movie was ending, I was like, wow, they like, I actually, like I said, I kind of think this is a better movie than at least technically. This is like a much higher bar made film, a much, I don't want to say more well-made, but film than Scream 5, I think. But I think Scream 5 has better themes, like it's meta.
Tell me why you think that is. I mean, it's the same team.
Yeah,
this isn't their first film. How do you think it looks better or feels better to you?
Well, the scope is way bigger. It's not in a small suburban neighborhood.
Okay.
It's in, even if it's fake New York, Toronto, whatever, it's just way bigger. And the set pieces are way bigger. You know, you have the ladder set piece across the, I think is the standout. You also have the subway scene, which I like. I'm kind of disappointed here you don't love it.
Yeah, but I think, purposely went to take a piss during the subway scene.
So, I mean, I guess the subway scene to me, the person that's in danger is what's exciting about it. And I think the problem is once you know the outcome of that person being in danger, maybe it doesn't have that same like intensity.
Sure.
100%. But the first time I saw the film, I was so worried that character was going to die.
So there's a point where that character is in a van.
Yeah.
And I got super worried about that.
Yeah.
Because of what happens to Randy in part two. And I was getting anxiety with the van scene.
I also want to just say that I love the subway scene because I felt like it that's when it gets the most giallo. Like, obviously they're referencing like Argento and stuff in the movie. And when Ghostface, I think it's a spoiler. So I'll save that. We'll talk to that in a minute. There's eyes. And black gloves in that scene. Let's just put it that way. So I was like, wow. Like when I saw it the first time, I was like, giallo, cool. But yeah, I guess you were asking why it feels big. I mean, it's not just the scope of it. Like, I feel like their direction is way tighter. It's gorgeous. I don't know if this is the same DP, cinematographer, but very pretty. I thought this is much better looking than the first movie. I don't think Scream 5 looks that great. I mean, it looks more like an indie film to me almost, where this felt like a giant Hollywood movie.
One thing that I did not like, and it's spoilers, I'll wait.
Okay. Okay.
But darn it. Yeah. Let's get spoilers.
Yeah, sure.
Because we're talking about the look.
Yeah, for sure. So
let's get into it, Don.
Yeah, we will. So we both love Scream 6.
We did. I went higher on my Letterboxd rating the second time around. It's now got 4 stars from EDoc.
Yes. Oh.
What about you? If you had a Letterboxd, where would you go?
4.
You'd go 4 as well? Okay.
So
you do. You just don't use it.
Yes. Also,
bastard.
There was a Letterboxd shot at you in the movie.
There is a Letterboxd joke in the film. Yep.
Yeah. So, okay. I was like, oh, I have another comment. It's spoilers too. So let's just get to spoilers.
Okay.
So if you haven't seen, go ahead.
Nope. You do you.
If you haven't seen Scream 6, go see it. We love Scream. This one, we're so spoiled that we got 2 good Scream movies in the matter of a year.
Right.
But yeah, this is fucking awesome. It has no right to be as good as it is. And we love it. So go see Scream 6. We love it. Now is going to start spoilers.
Yep.
Don't listen past this point if you haven't seen Scream 6. We want to give you a second to turn it off. We love you.
Thanks
Goodbye.
For listening. Thanks for making it this far.
Yeah, thanks for listening. And okay, now start spoilers for spoilers. Scream 6 starting right now.
Take a little walk to the edge of town and go across the track. Where the viaduct looms like a bird of doom as it shifts and cracks. Where secrets lie in the border fires and the humming wires. Yeah, man, you know you're never coming back. Across the square, across the bridge, past the mills, past the stacks. On a gathering storm comes a tall, handsome man in a dusty black coat with a red right hand.
Okay, we're talking about look. Billy looks fucking terrible in this. Like, he's just in the reflection of the glass?
Yeah, I think it was a way to save money.
I feel like he has more of a presence in 5. And
for
in
sure.
This, he does it. And that was one thing I was worried about. Like, is Billy going to come back? You know? And so I was happy he was.
Yeah.
But he looks like garbage in this.
I didn't find it. Like, I don't think he looked like garbage. I think that they barely show him. Like, the reflection is kind of hard to see.
He showed up for 30 minutes of work that day.
For sure. But also, like, the first film is, like, about him.
Sure.
And this one, I don't think. So we're in spoilers. Before I forget. What the fuck was I going to say? The
talking about looks.
Yeah. I can't remember.
Billy.
Billy looks.
It's not about him. It's just in the reflection.
Yeah. I don't remember that quick. I already forgot. But,
you need to be checked for early onset Alzheimer's.
No, early onset. Everything.
Early. Yes.
Eric, where should we start with spoilers?
I'll tell you where I'd like to start with spoilers. With the new cast. I feel like every single Scream has successfully introduced new characters that we care about, except for this one. I didn't give a shit about any of these new characters. And didn't like that half of them were just cannon fodder.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a symptom of... so we're in spoilers. So spoilers. A symptom of 2 of our main new people are the killers.
Right.
But there's 3 of them. So they don't really get... I think the only one that gets time to shine is the girl. The boy is basically worthless. I think it's Jack Champion from Avatar.
He is so non-existent.
He doesn't exist. Totally agree.
It's almost like annoying that he's the killer because he does nothing for the entire film. He's just this plain Jane nothing character. And then, nope, we're going to make him the killer.
Yeah, and okay. So I think this is what I was going to say was you asked me why I think that the themes in 5 are better. And
oh, no, I agree with you on that.
Yeah, but you asked me to explain it and I couldn't because it's spoilers. So five is about, you know, toxic fandom and, you know, creating a new film and expanding a franchise. And I feel like the film talk is way higher and way better.
Oh yeah.
And I think in this, it's all just sort of, you know, I think the killer reveal is worse, way worse. I think essentially if the film wasn't so good and if the filmmaking wasn't so good and I didn't care about these characters, which they made me care from five. And I think the characters, the new kids are great in six. Then I think it would be much more egregious that the killer is kind of, I think, stupid. Mm. I don't think it's very good.
I also had a problem with motivation the first time around, but now I'm okay with it.
Yeah, like Richie and Amber are incredible in five. This is like, it's the cop and his kids are, and oh, but they're related to Richie. It's like, fuck off. But
I am glad, though, that they tied it into Richie.
Me too.
Since we've already seen them tied into, you know, a legacy character.
For sure. When they hadn't tied it into Richie, I was like, wow, this sucks dig. But once they tied it into Richie, I was like, okay, I guess that's cool. But again, as I always say, like one element doesn't make a film. So I feel like the killer reveal and I think the film talk is, I feel like, not on a high level in this movie.
I agree.
100%. But the rest of it is literally like 9 out of 10 great.
See, that's what's fantastic about a slasher.
Yeah.
It's like you could just give us
somebody
set in
pieces. You could set pieces, pretty people.
Somebody in a mask chasing them.
Butts.
I'm not going to disagree with ass.
There's a lot of butts in this movie, and they're all great. And we are not discriminating. There's good men butt as well.
I'm not discriminating about the ass.
There is great butts throughout the whole movie. I just need to say that.
Yep.
But yeah, no, I mean.
So I guess we have expectations because it is Scream. We want the film talk.
For sure.
We want good killer motivation. But it doesn't have to be because slashers are just fun.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the ending was better on the second watch.
I agree.
But
I think that's funny when the dad is like, of course it's me.
Yeah, of course it's me. Yeah. But I definitely, you know,
I feel like he was having the most fun.
For sure.
Because I feel like the brother and sister.
I just wish it was him and not the two kids.
Especially
just
Jack
be
Champion.
Richie's dad.
Right. Well, here's my thing. In the trailer, and this isn't in the film, whenever Ghostface is like, I'm something different. I was like, oh, it's three killers.
Yeah,
I 100% called that. It was three killers. But Jack Champion's character. Thank you, Doc. I'm a fucking Scream detective. When he's like, yeah, I've always wanted to stick something in you, Tara. Like he's trying to do the stew.
Yeah.
Like, crazed attitude. It's just not working, Doc. It's just not working. And then I think it's funny how the sister, Quinn, I almost kind of feel like you can tell when it's her talking, like on the phone. Almost just because like her comebacks, like the way she's acting, like there's a part where they're in the park and they're trying to trace Ghostface's location through cell phone use. And whenever Samantha calls, she's like, you know, you're going to die. She's like, no, you're going to die.
Yeah.
And that just seemed very, I don't know.
On the nose. Yes. Or yeah. Yeah. I mean, I agree. I mean, I think it sucks because I'd rather, of course, we love the movie. Like, I think it's fucking incredible. But I think the reason we're talking about what we don't like is it's the only negative of the film.
Right. For me, it's the new characters.
Yeah. And basically the killer reveal and the ending. But when I say the ending, I think the staging, the action, the violence of the ending is all great. So Different. It's not necessarily what's happening. I think it's just the characters in those scenes and the motivation is like, whatever.
I also thought they stuck the landing with like the themes of like letting family go.
Yes.
And stuff like
those things I loved. But that they're worked. Not they're not based on like I think that's why I liked Five so much was, you know, it was based on that film idea, like we're making a sequel. You know, it was all about like requels and the whole, you know, thing, a toxic fandom and people online. And this was, I think, more about like, you know, creating villains online and stuff, not necessarily about film at all, which is fine and also really good. But let's talk about something I think was way better in this movie. And I was shocked how much I loved her, which is Sam. Melissa Barrera totally redeemed herself. I thought she's great in this.
I thought she was fine in the first one. I feel like I'm in the minority.
I don't know. She was just like the weak link of that movie to me. Mm. And she's great in this. And just, yeah, the Carpenter sisters, Tara and Sam, that dynamic, like they sold it to me, worked for me. Like you're saying, like the whole ending where she's like, you have to let me go. And I know it's cheesy. I know. I mean, we're basically in Titanic territory where it's like, I'll never let you go. You know, I mean, that's we're literally in like Jack and Rose and Titanic cheesiness, but it totally worked for me. Totally I bought works. It. They sold it to me and I loved it. And I loved watching them fucking kill them. I mean, that's what I'm saying. So the violence, the staging, the themes, everything is perfect except the killers where it's kind of like, whatever. But I just wanted to say that the two of them, their core, their relationship, their struggle with the trauma is great. Like, I absolutely love it. And then, the other kids are great.
I think what may have taken a little bit of the gusto away from the film for me was in Scream 5, I had no idea that Billy has an illegitimate child.
Yeah.
And when that was revealed, I was like, holy shit. Like, I sat up in my seat when we first saw Billy in 5. And then for 6 to be like, this is Richie's family. I was like, okay.
It was sure. I guess the problem is too, like being film fans and shit. Like, I was sitting there thinking like, how's this going to be some crazy reveal of, you know, legacy characters? Like, you know, of course, let's all say, you know, Stu Mocker or something like that. Or Jill Roberts, you know, from 4, you know, that's what I want the most. Well, actually I want Stu the most. And then number 2 is, Emma Roberts from 4. When it wasn't that, and it was just like, I'm Richie's dad.
Right.
We've
changed our names.
Yeah. And let me just say, it's not necessarily bad.
It's not.
It's just like, kind of like, oh, like, okay, let's just do it. Oh, okay. Right. It's Richie's dad.
We'll take it.
Yeah. But again, the filmmaking and characters.
Billy from the first fucking film. Oh, shit.
Right. And I think it's just like our problem of like, and this is kind of like the Star Wars thing too. Like, what is your expectations for the goddamn thing instead of what's the movie?
Sure.
But even then, I still feel like it's just kind of boring in the film. It's the cop that is, looks like the killer already and really doesn't, whatever. But let's also mention Kirby's back, and I loved her.
Kirby's back. I was surprised that they made her an FBI character. I was for it. I liked it. And then there's a part towards the end of the film where the father, Blake, tells our main characters that it's her.
Duh, I fucking bought it.
I didn't.
I fucking bought it.
I didn't buy that for a second.
I was sold, dog. I was like, oh shit, Kirby's the killer?
No, so here's why.
I would have liked that more. I can tell you that right now.
It could have been better. You're right. It could have if they had written it really cool. You know, like she has some crazy monologue or whatever. But when they said it was Kirby, I was like, well, they're not going to make Kirby the killer because we've all been asking for Kirby. They give her to us and she's a fucking bad guy. There's no way they're going to do that. That was just my opinion. But and that's kind of what I'm saying. Like, I was so happy to have Kirby back and I couldn't wait for her to deal out her movie knowledge. You know, that's why we love Kirby. Mm. And it was like a rewrite scene where she sits down with
Mindy,
Jasmine Savoy. I can't remember her name.
It's a cute, fun scene.
No, it's awesome. But I think it was like a super low level horror talk. Like,
You'd like more horror talk?
I thought that it would be more advanced. Like, it's like, which is your favorite Friday the 13th? Which
it's cute. One says 2, one says 4.
Yeah.
And then big shout out when they're like Candyman or the Reek one. They're like both.
Yeah. No, I mean,
big shout out to that.
Eric, it can be good, but I just was hoping for like more excite. Like
Psycho 2, underrated.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of just whatever.
I thought that was cute.
But so my point is Kirby's back, but that's our only little glimpse at Kirby that we love. So I wish there was more Kirby being
100%
Scream 4 Kirby. That's all.
I wanted an E-Dog's perfect Scream 6, Mindy, Samara Weaving's character, and Kirby would have had like a big horror discussion.
Yes, stop.
In E-Dog's perfect Scream 6.
This could
we'll take what we get.
Eric, we may be trailing into fan fiction territory at this point.
Well, shit, as long as we're not posting it online. Oh, we post this online. Never mind.
Oh, fuck. God damn it. Shit. I was super happy to have Kirby back. I thought it was fun how she was like weird and wacky.
I felt movie talk was at an all-time low.
I agree. Yeah. That's when That's what you're saying.
I'm illustrating the first point we were trying to make, which is...
And that's kind of what we want in Scream, huh? So maybe that's another thing that rubbed me just a tiny bit wrong.
And that's what I'm getting at. I feel like the film and movie genre talk went down in this movie. But just to clarify, I do feel like the relationship and character dynamics was the best part of this movie. And that felt like it was a better level. So maybe we exchange, you know, our film geek bullshit, which is probably just, I know what that is. I've seen Candyman.
Right.
Good characters.
But I guess it makes us feel seen.
Yes, of course.
You know, it makes us feel seen.
And all, like, related. We're related with these characters because I like the Candyman remake too.
I'm a beautiful person too.
Well, no one can be as beautiful as Jenna Ortega.
Well,
and while we're talking about that, God damn, she's charismatic.
Yeah,
she's in the college, there's
a part where they're having a party.
Yeah.
A frat party. And she's just like giggling and she's smiling at everybody. And it's like, she's probably not even acting. That's probably just Jenna Ortega.
Yeah, that. And then in the end, when that's what I was trying to say, when she's like, you got to let me go. And then she's like, she goes down and fucking stabs that guy. And
in
she
the has mouth.
Blood all over her face and shit. I was like, holy fuck. Yeah. Yeah, they're both really good in this. That's what I was saying. Like, I really liked Sam in this film as well, Melissa Barrera. So
there's a scene.
What's his name is really good. What's his name? Gooding.
Oh, Mason Gooding.
Yeah, it's great. I loved him in this movie.
I love him so much, just because he's in the Love, Simon spinoff.
Love, Victor. Okay. Yeah.
That's what I know him originally from.
I love him in this movie.
Spoiler alert, because we're talking spoilers. I wish they would have let him die. He has such a terrific death.
I'm glad you brought that up.
He has such a terrific death. There's this fire-ass moment where we learn that there's two ghost faces. He's already fighting one, and then a second comes, and then they just start repeatedly stabbing him, and he has to tell Sam and Tara to run. And then after they finish stabbing him...
They both wipe their knives.
In perfect synchronicity. I don't know if that's a word.
Yeah, that's when it's like...
That's like the hardest fire ever.
And that's what I'm trying... Okay, Eric, you asked me why I was saying I feel like the filmmaking was better from Radio Silence. That's an example.
Shit like that.
Like, that was fucking, like, groundbreaking.
That was, like, the hardest fire. And I understand that he could be, like, the Dewey comparison now, but if Scream 2 had the motherfucking balls to kill Randy, you could kill fucking Chad in Scream fucking 6.
They want the core.
Do I want Chad dead? No.
Yeah,
I don't.
Neither, yeah.
100%. I don't want him dead. I'm happy he's alive. Well, but that would have been so much more shocking for my initial viewing. That was one of the moments where my jaw was just on the fucking floor. My first time, dog.
Okay.
And they took that away from me, dog.
They. Okay. So.
And I went up a half a star on Letterboxd, y'all.
Y'all. So I'm glad that you brought up that death reversal. Because I feel like this film is like, so let's just get this out of the way.
The core four is invincible now?
Well, not just that, but there's like this throwaway line off screen. And Gail and what's his name? Everyone's okay, everybody. Gail and Kirby are fine.
They're both going to make it. They're both going to pull through or something like that.
I was like, what the fuck?
Yes, I agree.
They
could have kept Gail's outcome a mystery.
Yeah, and here's the thing, Eric. I'm not ultimately upset at the... So I think they're cheating. They kill him. They kill Gail. They don't necessarily kill Kirby, but she gets close to being dead.
She gets fucked up. And I thought that was cool. She gets stabbed in the same stab wound from Charlie and Four.
So, but they got... And I'm not mad about this, but I'm also just a fan. Like you're saying, I want them to live. So I'm admitting my bias. They, I think, get to have their cake and eat it too, because we get the emotional. I'm crying when Gail is dying. Gail is dying.
Right.
They're killing Gail. Okay. And then they just don't kill her so they can have her in more movies.
I mean, they killed Dewey in 5.
Yeah.
Why couldn't they do it in this film? Why couldn't they give us some gut punches?
I agree. So my point is, I wasn't even necessarily. Oh, don't get me wrong. My radar went off. I was like, really? Gail and Kirby are fine. There's like a line like that. But oh well. Because I love these movies and I'd like to see Kirby again.
We love these movies. We love these characters. But I also
I'm admitting my bias.
I as much as I love these characters, I want to feel worried for them.
For sure. And the stakes need to feel real. I totally agree.
Yes.
But I do, I guess that's what I'm trying to say, is it still makes me cry watching Gail die, even though they don't kill her.
You know what part?
Because they essentially killed her. So I'm crying in the theater. I'm like, oh no, I love Gail Weathers. And she's just alive. So they got both. You know what I'm right. saying? I still emotionally cared, but then she's still alive for more movies.
Exactly.
Which I'm not saying is good filmmaking, but I'm okay with it.
The part that got E-Dog was, I forget specifics of the dialogue, but Sam is asking Gail, like, about family.
Yeah.
And she's like, and she's talking about Dewey.
One person that.
And the Dewey theme the kicks theme. In.
I know.
And I was like, oh. God.
I got emotional this time, too. A tear came out of my eye. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
They're talking about Dewey. I fucking love Dewey. Yeah. They're talking about that Dewdrop.
Doofy.
Doofy. What's that, my ass? That's a different movie.
Yes. So what else about Scream 6, Eric?
We loved it. E-Dog's lukewarm on new characters and not being able to kill anybody.
Yeah.
Other than that,
the ladder scene. I think
when I came out of it, I was like, it's tied for three with me as being my least favorite. But I like it more now.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I had to do my ranking,
let's do it now.
So I haven't thought about it.
Oh shit!
But you're gonna hear me do it live. You ready? Scream 1. Scream 2.
Yes, Queen.
Ooh, this is where it's hard.
Not for you, Doc.
Don't get upset, Eric.
Okay.
Scream 4.
I'm still with you.
Damn, Doc, this is hard now. Scream 4. You're not going to like this. Scream 3.
You're telling me Scream 3 is better than 5 and 6? You're
Scream
wild.
3 is part of like my life. You know what I'm saying? It came out in like whatever it was, 2000, right? And I was born in 91. So I've grown up like with that film existing. I'm not sure it's great, but it's Scream 3. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's historical. Let's fix it. Scream 1, Scream 2, Scream 4. Yeah, I hate to say it, bro. Scream 5, Scream 6, Scream 3.
That's my rank.
Okay. Yeah.
And 1, 3, 4. 5, 6, 3.
Yeah. That's the real ranking. The reason I put 3 there was just because it's fucking a classic, but yeah.
This isn't a
In terms of the best films, that's what they are.
This isn't a good flex, but I'm trying to flex here.
Weird flex, but okay.
I've seen from 3 on in the theater.
Nice. Yeah, because you're gonna be like 35 this year, aren't you?
Shh, don't tell anybody.
Aren't you?
Yes.
I'm gonna be 32.
Yes. It's a bummer.
Yep. Well,
this is a story I've never told. Whenever Scream 5 came out, I was in the 6th or 7th grade.
Not Scream 5.
We're talking about Scream 3.
Okay. You said 5.
I'm sorry. When Scream 3 came out, yes. I was in the 6th or 7th grade. And Jared Walterscheid, a kid in my class, no exaggeration, invited like 20 kids to spend the night at his house that night. And it took like 2 or 3 parents driving us all to the theater.
Really?
Yeah. And we all watched. And I was terrified. I was scared.
Yep.
And we all saw Scream 3 together in the theater. And then we all went home. We all went back to Jerry Walterscheid's house too. I spent the night. And what was funny was like he told his like parents, like, yeah, there's going to be like 4 kids. But there was like 20 of us. And we had to sleep outside because there was that many of us. So I have a fun memory with seeing Scream 3.
It's so funny that you say it. I may have told this on the podcast. I have the exact same story, but with weirder shit. U-Bowl's House of the Dead. I went to a kid's house who's actually passed away now. Caleb Stockwell. Caleb Stockwell had a... this is when I was like a kid. Probably 2002 or 1 or something. He had a sleepover, but we all went to see House of the Dead. U-Bowl's House of the Dead, the game adaptation, which I was terrified of because I was like a little kid. And it's not. It's a piece of shit movie. But I was scared. You know what I'm saying? I was afraid of it or whatever. We watched the whole movie. It was fun. And we stayed the night at his house. I think it was a Halloween night.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So anyways, rest in peace to him. That sucks. But yeah, we stayed at his house. And I'll never forget that. But I wish it was for Scream 3 and not fucking House of the Dead. But yeah. I mean, so what's our ranking? Cause we ended on the same ranking.
We did.
1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 3.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's exciting. It's kind of crazy. Like, when it was ending the first time I saw it, I thought, wow, like, we're just watching Scream movies? This is fucking weird. Like, if you think about it, 4 was such a big deal. 4 was so far after, right? So 4 was, you know, Wes Craven still at the time. And then 5 was really exciting because it was so far after 4. Mm-hmm. And now we're just watching Scream 6. Like,
and now we're just watching Scream 6. And it's making money.
Do you want to do a fun comparison?
It's doing okay critically.
Making a fuck ton of money.
Yes. What's your fun comparison, Doug?
Well, what do we think of this compared to the Halloween reboot stuff?
Excellent question, Doug.
I don't, and by the way, they don't have to be good or worse or better. I'm just saying that, what do we think about them by comparison?
Excellent question. I thoroughly enjoy them both, but if I had a gun to my head, if someone was like, motherfucker, you can only watch one for the rest of your life.
Eric produced a pistol from his pocket.
The new Halloweens or the new Screams, what's it going to be, bitch? You got 3 seconds to tell me before I blow your brains out all over this refrigerator. You hear me, motherfucker? And I'd go, Scream! Scream! I can only watch Scream! Same question, motherfucker. You got 3 seconds to answer before I blow your motherfucking brains out all over this fucking refrigerator. You can only watch Halloween or Scream for the rest of your life. What's it going to be?
Halloween! Halloween!
Damn!
Yeah, I do Halloween. So here's the
I'm not saying just franchise. I'm saying just the new film.
I know.
Damn!
Here's the issue with the way you're phrasing that. And it's fun. We're doing a thought experiment. Rewatch for the rest of my life? Well, these Scream movies are much more fun. Right, but Halloween is more serious and upsetting. So if you're going to ask, like, oh, you're going to rewatch it 400 times? Well, probably the Scream movies because they're fun.
Because I already have been doing that for fucking years.
Well, but I've been doing that on Halloween too. But with the Halloween reboot, you know, they're like dead serious. You know, they're funny at times, but they're very serious, very, you know, about trauma and all this shit. But I'll take those. I love the 2018 and Kills. Of course, I do love Ends as well, but those two are fucking, like, amazing to me. And so is Scream 5 and 6. I'm just excited that I feel like they leveled up big time for this movie. I hope they make another one. Now, let's do that. Like, we were kind of talking about it at Taco Bell, shout out, before we came here. What do we want next? And my answer is, whatever it is, if they make one more, it better be Radio Silence. Those guys better do it. Because my concern is they're attached to Escape from New York, Requel reboot. You like that Requel? And I'm concerned that Paramount's not going to want to wait for them.
You know what would be really, really fucking funny?
What would be funny, Doc?
Okay, so it's been established that Scream 5 mirrors Scream 1. Scream 6 mirrors Scream 2. So what you're saying is you're afraid of what if Paramount goes ahead and pushes through with Scream 7 and it's not Radio Silence. Well, in real life, Miramax and Dimension pushed through with Scream 3 without Kevin Williamson. Yeah. So it'd be a funny fucking trend if they ended up pushing Scream 7 and it'd be the shittiest version because it's a different creative team.
Yeah, I just hope that you might
shout out to all the people that recognize that Scream 3 sucks.
It doesn't suck.
Sucks.
I wish you guys could see Eric when he says sucks.
Sucks.
He's like pointing his hand in the air. The only
funny part
is
that character who's also in the first Hatchet and he's being chased by Roman. Oh, you motherfucker. And they're like going down the halls and there's fucking trap doors. And
can I also just throw in I rewatched 5 before this movie, and it is so funny to me. What's his name? Roger
Jackson, the voice?
Yeah, is it Roger Jackson?
Maybe.
Deputy Judy.
Yeah.
You know what's so fucking funny time?
You know what's fucking fire?
Judy.
And I think they just introduced it in 5. The whirring, buzzing noise when they turn on the voice changer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, almost sounds like the Halo shield recharge. I love that shit.
Duh. Deputy Judy. It's so fucking funny. Because it's
just like shit talking.
I was going to say just nonsensical, like just being an asshole.
Right.
Like you don't also have to be an asshole. It's just so funny. Goddamn.
No, yeah, I agree. That is silly.
But yeah, so my dream for the sequel would be Neve Campbell returns for an all out finale to this trilogy with the new cast. She returns just for, you know, like like a not necessarily a battle, but she could even just be a coach for them or whatever. Like, hey, this is what you need to do, or whatever their finale is. But bring everyone back. Have Kirby, Gail, Nev Campbell, Sydney, Patrick Dempsey.
Mark.
Patrick Dempsey. Sorry. Mark. Because it sounds like she's married to him.
Right.
Have a cameo from Patrick Dempsey. Like everyone you can possibly do and go crazy. It could be in Hollywood. I don't care. For like they're making a new movie and there's kills on the set, just like three, which is what these films have sort of been mimicking. You know, you have them at college and two, and they're at college here. But put your own spin on it, and yeah, that would be my dream.
And just go all out, huh?
But as long as it's fucking...
And I know we're just fantasizing right now. That's what we do.
Let's not hear your fan fiction again, Eric.
We're lonely people. How could they draw out Sydney, though? They really... It was tough to draw her out in five. And now in this one, she's just like, fuck y'all. I don't know what
I will say there was a line in this movie that did make me theorize. And it was, what happened? What's going on with your mom, Sam? And they're like, she's like, oh, well, I cut her off once I found out. And then Tara cut her off. And it's like, who's their mom? Maybe she's somebody from the past that could draw Sydney out.
She was conveniently in London in five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, oh my God, I just thought of Scary Movie. Cindy's dad. Now,
remember, flush the stash. Yeah,
flush the stash. And if you're going to make muffins come out of your nose. Oh, you've loved that joke since you were 3 years old or whatever he fucking says. That's Rick Ducommun from The Burbs.
Correct. You're 100% right.
I unabashedly like Scary Movie 1 and 2. And I know they're like shit or whatever, but I fucking love them. Mm. And on that note, I think that's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
I think we did a good job.
We fucking love Scream 3. Fuck. Look, we've only recorded for an hour and a half and
Keegan loves Scream 3.
I do love Scream 3, Eric. And I don't mind saying.
Here's the thing about Scream 3 for E-Dog. When I rated it on Letterboxd, I hit the like button.
Because it's saying, good, dog. I mean, it's not the best. I'm not saying
that's what I'm saying, dog.
Yeah, I know, dog.
It's just my least favorite of the six films, dog.
But boy, is it not fun to watch Ghostface run after people and kill them? Oh, I want to quickly mention, we're done, but I want to quickly mention the intensity of, yes, the ladder scene, but just when, how crazy is it that Ghostface is in the room with all of our characters? Mm. Like whenever the knives are being hidden or whatever. I was like, that made me sit up. I was like, holy shit. The core four, the roommate, they're all fucking in that apartment. Mm-hmm. And Ghostface is just in there with a knife. And I was like, holy fuck. Like, how are they going to get out of this? And it culminates in that ladder sequence that I think is fucking incredible. You have Ghostface like slamming through the door and like it's like beating on the speakers over and over again. And it's like keeping your heart rate up that whole time. That's better than fucking anything in Scream 5. Like direction and intensity wise.
If I had to pick a set piece from any of the Screams, I'm going with when Sydney and her friend they get in the car wreck and the killer is driving and they have to climb over the killer. Whoa, that's intense to you, Doc.
Yes. Well, it's funny that you say that. I was originally going to present that with this is Scream 2's cop car. Mm. I actually said that to Ben when we left.
Get out of the car, fucker.
And then he fucking hits him. And then they have to go over him. I think this is that from Scream 2.
Yeah.
But just on like an insane level.
A different level, yeah.
Yeah. Fuck, it's good. It's cool how they're using the old masks, you know, like each mask with the DNA in them. How'd they get them? Let's not get into that.
That was super interesting to me.
Yeah, it was cool.
For my initial view, and I was like, what?
Well, when they were like,
this is a mystery to solve.
This has DNA from Jill Roberts and I don't know that other fucking guy's name. The Culkin.
Oh, what's funny is I had no idea... Timothy Oliphant's character had a last name until this film.
I didn't either. When they said the last name, I was like, who the fuck's that?
Right. Oliphant. For a second, I was like,
oh, okay, okay. Yeah.
I was like, oh, he's got a last name.
Yeah. Oh, and then the other wish list for six is Stu Mocker is alive. And he's back for revenge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not? Who gives a fuck?
a duck.
Wow. And on that and beautiful on that, note from Eric.
I guess that was it. Thank you for listening. Hopefully yes. next episode will be soonish.
Yeah, we want to. Eric wants to rank the Silent Night, Deadly Night films in summer.
Hey, what are you going to do?
Christmas in July? Cancel Halloween?
I guess technically it'd be spring. Let's hope it doesn't take us to summer to get to the next episode.
Probably a month. We say, why the fuck are we talking? We don't know when we're going
to
do it.
Well, I told you what my motivation was.
What's
I need to get through my watch pile.
Yeah.
And that's in my watch pile.
I want to throw something in that's not about any movies.
Okay.
Just talk, though. Somebody recently started listening to the podcast, and I can't remember who told me. It might be a friend from work, actually. His name is Thomas. If he's listening, shout out. Shout out to everybody else, by the way. Shane. Hello. But anyways, he was like, I can't tell when Keegan is talking or that other guy because he doesn't know you. And I've heard that comment a lot. Like, you guys sound the exact same.
Really?
And I just...
I don't see it.
I get it. We both have male voices. So in that sense, we sound the same. I feel like we sound completely different.
Especially because you're the more...
sultry?
You're the more...
Oh, this ought to be good.
Articulate.
I mean, I don't think that I get what you're saying, but I mean, Eric, you hold your own.
You know, if you're like looking for like legitimate film talk, it's Keegan. If it's like bullshit titties
and beer,
it's E-Dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how you can distinguish the two.
Don't sell yourself short, Eric. You're very good at what you do.
Even with my speech impediment.
Now this is going to be like the speech impediment episode.
It's fine.
Anyways, no, I've heard that several times.
I'm not
where
ashamed
people
that I can't pronounce my R's.
I think I mispronounced like 18 things this episode. No, but I just, that's it. I just wanted to mention that I feel like we don't sound the same.
No, we don't. But that's easy for us to say.
I guess that's true because, you know, I know what you sound like.
It's like, this is a terrible, terrible example, but like one of the new hires will come and help me on my route. They're like, is your route hard? I'm like, no, it's a fucking piece of cake. But I've been doing the route for 4 fucking years.
Yeah. Well, it's fun. You know, I work in the oil field and I have a route and it, I don't know if I should say, but once you do the same thing every day, mm-hmm. even if there's problems,
you
I know
can
what
overcome
to do.
Them.
Yeah,
right.
It's easy. Easy, quote unquote. You know, it's still stressful and you have to do a job, but we
have to do a job.
A fucking job. Because
I got me a jizzah.
A job.
A G O W
N. I hate
staying
in the cellar.
I ain't staying in no cellar.
I ain't staying in no cellar.
Damn, no, that's 2 prom night songs this episode.
I don't even know, like, the fucking mic was, like, blinking. We were so loud.
Oh, that's fine.
But, Eric, I want to make one further comment about that. we're trailing now.
Definitely.
But I wanted to just say that our voices being the same, you know what it is? If you know both of us, like, if you've talked to both of us in person, then you know it's Eric talking. But if you don't know, like, okay, so for in this case, someone from work doesn't know who you are, mm-hmm. Oh, that just sounds like Keegan to them, I guess.
Maybe one of us needs to get the Roger Jackson scream voice changer.
That would be badass.
Yeah.
So
one
Deputy
of us could be like, name the killer in Friday the 13th.
Nope.
Sorry. That's the wrong answer.
Judy.
Officer Judy.
For no reason. Fuck, that's so funny to me. On that note. We love you.
Thank you for listening.
This has been the Ghoul Squad podcast. You can buy shirts, links in the fucking podcast description.
Yep.
It's all.
Yep. Find us on social media at Ghoul Squad FM, wherever you social media it up.
Yes. And let us know if you listened. We'd like to hear from people. We love you. We love
it. We're going to be sending out a survey, a questionnaire, if we should continue the podcast.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
Did you get any messages about a sticker?
I didn't.
Nobody.
That's
took
not
me
good
seriously.
News, Eric.
So that's tight.
Yeah, thank God you didn't have to deal with that.
Either nobody took me seriously, which is fine,
or no one fucking heard it,
or nobody heard it,
or maybe they just thought, oh, somebody probably already hit him up. Because remember, I said I was only going to do it for the first 2 people. So offer still stands, guys. I got 2 Ghoul Squad stickers and an envelope waiting for your name.
There you go. And with that beautiful note from Eric, we are now going to be officially done. Thanks for listening. We will hopefully be back soon. We love you. And hopefully you and your family are doing well. And
Ghouls you back off? We'll be back. We'll be right back.